Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, big town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass. Tuesday edition of The Killer Bees. Taco Tuesday edition. I invented it. Lots to get to today.
Acknowledge me!
Lots to get to today. Texans are doing things out on a practice field. They got a joint practice with Detroit. That should be fun, but it's not here.
Go Texas.
Maybe some... it's definitely a closure. Maybe some clarity on Joe Mixon? I don't know. He's starting to get nervous about that. And then Tay Ursary said he would die for C.J. Stroud. That's my kind of guy. That's my kind of football player. He's willing to die for his quarterback. Laremy Tunsil can't be bothered to go help his quarterback up. Ariante Ursary wants to die for C.J. Stroud. That's the kind of left tackle I want protecting the blind side. Not some dude that's helping him up, not refusing to help him up. Not some dude that's asking for Beyonce for an autograph and then posting the autograph on Instagram after they get hammered by the Ravens on Christmas Day. He's willing to die for his quarterback. It's my kind of guy.
It's a bit intense, a bit over the top to say something like that, but hey, I mean, whatever floats your boat. I mean, yeah, you like the fact that he's a little bit of the anti-Laremy Tunsil in his dedication level to his signal caller.
I mean, what are the best soldiers? The best soldiers are the ones front line that are willing to die. Tay Ursary, football, not nearly as, like, you know, intense as war, but that's the first line, baby. That's the first line. And he's willing to die on his sword for C.J. Stroud. He's willing to die on his Stroud for the Houston Texan football team. I love it. We'll talk about that later.
I love that phrasing, die on his Stroud.
Die on his Stroud.
No,
713-780-3776. Let's grade the phrase. Let's grade the mantra. Tay Ursary willing to die on his Stroud for the Houston Texans. 2-2.
2-2.
Blankers?
1-2.
1-2?
Yeah, it's pretty
weak. I feel like there's some anti-Branham bias going
on
here.
we've had too many innuendo-led comments lately.
Man,
we've been kind of dicey.
Specifically from Branham.
Well, we've been kind of dicey.
Whoa,
as a show, we're in this together. It's kind of dicey. We've gotten some dicey comments.
Anyways, we'll talk about that later. Astros lost a baseball game. Another lifeless performance for the Houston Astros, who have been shut out in 3 of their last 4 games. They've been blown out. Chaz McCormick is finishing games now for the Houston Astros. This one was ugly. You want to start with Eric Geddy in the pitching, or you want to start with this lifeless, hapless offense?
Let's start with Eric Geddy.
All right, what'd you think?
Because to me, it was tough to watch. And I think the Wensiel Perez at-bat was the one that really got me, because he just couldn't put anything past him, no matter what he was throwing. I mean, look at how many balls he hammered home run distance that were foul. And then all of a sudden, when he does connect with one, he hits it out. And the biggest issue that I've had with all the hope that's been placed with all these pitchers coming back as each guy kind of progresses to come back to the big league level is, how much patience can you have with these guys? Because you know that you are in the middle of a race for the division and for the playoffs, and every game matters, and you see Eric Geddy throwing up over him, all over himself, and you're like, okay, this is now 3 starts. We're like, that's not even close to the Spencer Eric Geddy we saw previously. But I think you tweeted about it, but the fact is when he loads the bases, and there's a lot of self-infliction in there, and then you talk about that, like that at bat that I was talking about, you're like, maybe he just isn't ready for this kind of intensity right now.
Not that I disagree, but what choice do you have?
Right, that's true.
Like, you have to throw him into the wolves. And he's flashed. Like, that's what's frustrating is, like, yeah, he hasn't had good performances, but he's flashed. Like, the strikeouts are there. Got out of that inning. Bases loaded, nobody out, was able to get out of the inning. Strikeout, a double play. Altuve got absolutely wiped out on that play, by the way. But, no, this would be the criticism of Dana Brown at the deadline, was that he was counting too much on returning from injury pitchers to have critical roles for this team going forward. And it's showing. Like, you mentioned the Morton thing at the deadline. Like, that would have he'd be your third best starter right now. So it's ugly. It is their lot in life currently. I agree with you that Arrigetti, like, right now, like, does he look like a middle-of-the-rotation starter? Absolutely not. The hope is that he can kind of see his way through it and get there before the end of the year, get there before maybe it's too late. But no, not a good outing. He gives up a lot of hard contact, spaghetti and meatballs, Arrigetti and meatballs. It's true.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is, as you were saying that, and I'm thinking about this going, well, the other replacements that you might have are at least, but it might not be any much very much better, is the fact that you have McCullers, Garcia, and I shouldn't have even said that, led with McCullers. Garcia, McCullers, and others that you just don't know from the standpoint of Garcia anything at all. McCullers, we saw enough to believe that regardless of what he was doing while he was healing his blister, that he's not going to be much better for sure. But you also have to be, with Dana and Joe and whoever's involved in the mix with the pitching coaches, realistic in the fact that your third best pitcher right now to date with where you sit currently with the roster that you have is Jason Alexander. And so Jason Alexander, as you kind of set up everything, is your third best pitcher. And then you go from there and say, okay, well, who falls next in line? Because right now, you got a lot of crap on this roster that doesn't look like they can get guys out.
No, it's a dire state right now for the Astros. You know, maybe McCullers could surprise, and he's had some good starts. Like, he's had better starts if you just take his best starts. Like, right, like, take Lance McCullers' best starts, take Arrigetti's best starts. Lance McCullers has had a higher peak in 2025 than Arrigetti has. Lance McCullers had a 12 strikeout performance. Lance McCullers went 6 shutout innings against a bad team in Pittsburgh. He went 6 innings, gave up 1 run against the Dodgers. And it's like, I don't want to be the, you know, Lance McCullers is going to save the Astros bullpen, because none of us actually believe that. But if you were just to go Arrigetti top 2 or 3 starts in 2025, Lance McCullers top 2 or 3 starts in 2025, McCullers has had a higher of heights. Now, maybe that shows you the terrible spot that the Astros starting rotation's in, but it's sad that I'm actually looking at McCullers as a guy who could potentially help you. Yeah, like, hopefully the blister thing was legit.
Yeah, and also then you heard when he went down to Sugarland that he was mixing up his pitches and his sequencing so that he could throw more off-speed. That's great, right? And whatever he thinks might be able to be effective for him, or whatever they saw that they think might be a better mix for him, fantastic. But here's the caveat. You got to be able to throw these things for strikes. Otherwise, you're going to have to throw your fastball at some point, and that's where you're going to get your head ripped off, and the barrel's just going to make outstanding contact with the baseball.
Yeah, he can get by without, you know, primarily throwing his fastball sinker a lot, but you're right. He's got to control his breaking stuff. If he can't control his breaking stuff, all of a sudden he's in a 2-1, 3-1 count. You got to rely on a 91-mile-per-hour sinker. You're in a little bit of trouble. Taylor Scott tried to wear it yesterday, couldn't wear it yesterday, didn't do the job. Like, you turn to Taylor Scott there, hey, get us to Chaz McCormick. Get us to the back of the bullpen with Chaz McCormick. He couldn't do it. They had to bring in Brian King. Taylor Scott has been DFA'd today. Taylor with an E. Second time he's been DFA'd this year. Poor guy got his citizenship and forgot how to pitch.
Will there be a third?
Because no.
I don't think that. I think of all the reunion tours and Correa being the latest one and Neris before that, I don't think we see Taylor Scott again in an Astros uniform, and I don't need to. Whatever that summer was, that magic summer that he had at least half the summer a year or so ago, I don't need to see them try this thing one more time. That was absolutely ugly. The pitches that he was missing with were sitting, screaming, hit me on the middle of the plate, and that was just... Yeah, good riddance, goodbye.
Yeah, probably the last time we see Taylor Scott. I have a high degree of confidence that it's the last time we see Taylor Scott. Real quick about Chaz, because, like, hey, yeah, he's been great. Did you notice him working out of the stretch with a runner at first base yesterday?
I wasn't paying that close of attention.
Blowout game in the ninth inning. Chaz McCormick into the game. There's a runner at first base. I think he hit the guy. Runner at first base. And we had that clown text in the other day. Like, Branham, you don't know ball. Chaz McCormick's working out of the windup, not because he forgot about going out of the stretch, but because it's a blowout and it's a cardinal rule in baseball not to run with a big lead, which it is. But that's not why Chaz McCormick was working from the wind. It's because he forgot. He didn't know. He hadn't pitched in a while. Yesterday, 10-run lead for the Detroit Tigers, runner at first base. Chaz McCormick was not out of the windup. He learned his lesson, Bozo Texter, and he was working out of the stretch, Chaz McCormick. Not that it's important. I just wanted to get my flesh there.
It is pretty a sad state of affairs when, with everything that we already know about three shutouts in the last four games and all that other stuff, that the main talking point out of last night was Chaz pitched again and it was scoreless.
So back-to-back games for Chaz. You think he's sat down tonight? I mean, he's in the starting lineup, but do you think he's unavailable out of the bullpen?
Yeah, I definitely think that the arm needs a day's rest. I mean, you don't want to hater him this early. I mean, especially if you think about going more than one inning with him at a certain point.
I think they would use him if they had to. I know you're joking, but I think that they would use him if they had to. The offense texture right now saying that you guys are burying the lead. The Astros scored zero runs, and you're right. Like that, the offense has been a disaster lately, and I don't know where you want to start with this bad offense. I mean, Jesus Sanchez is hitless in his last 24 at-bats.
Yep.
Cam Smith had another rough night. I ran the numbers. Branham graphs. Since July 6, Cam Smith is slashing 155, 233 on base. His on base is better than his slugging. He's got a 198 slugging in his last 129 plate appearances. That's a decent sample. Israel said that that's not a slump. Okay, Israel, your definition of slumps a little bit differently than mine. He has 39 strikeouts over those 129 plate appearances. Cam Smith looks like he is overmatched at the moment.
He really does. And, you know, Israel's rebuttal is going to be, but he's hitting 250. He's hitting 250, which is better than any of the other outfielders he's competing with. Okay, Israel, he is really struggling right now. And, again, to be clear, no one is killing Cam and your killer Cam and saying that he's not going to be a long-term big piece of this puzzle and going to be a really good player. Right now, he has hit the wall. The wall is on the borderline, has him on the ropes, ready to knock his ass out, and he's really struggling. So the answers that you normally would think with the trades Dana was able to make and the guys that he has to choose from, as you mentioned, Sanchez, I mean, 0 for his last, it doesn't matter what he does defensively. Offensively, again, the first thing I look at when the lineup comes out is who's at the bottom of the lineup, because the last three or four slots are still a problem. Caratini, because he hasn't gotten regular at bats, he's struggling mightily now too, where he was hot when they sat him down because they were giving these guys the opportunity after making the move for him, and they thought it was really going to strengthen the lineup. I hear people saying, well, Yordan can't come back soon enough. When he comes back, all will be right in the world. I don't think so. There's too many guys that have to get it figured out and fixed. So it's a problem from top to bottom. Yeah, you saw some hits from some of the guys that you get used to seeing and you want to see, like Correa, like Altuve, even Urias. But overall, it's been a disappointing lineup. Yeah, it's encouraging Walker had two hits, but in a meaningless game because you're getting your doors blown off.
Yeah, one was an infield single, too. Like, all hits tell a different story. Shout out Brock Osweiler. I'm doubling down on the Cam Smith needs to be sent down. And I said whenever both Yordan and Myers come back, I think I'm just to the point where just Yordan. Like, I think just Yordan is enough for me to send down Cam. And it pleases all parties. Like, one, it's good for Cam Smith's development because you mentioned he hit the rookie wall. Mm-hmm. I hope that's what it is. I hope that it's the rookie wall. I hope it's not worse than that. I hope that it's not pitchers have figured him out and Cam Smith doesn't have a counterpunch. I hope it's not that the Astros put way too much on his plate and have ruined a young prospect. I hope it's not that. I hope it is the rookie wall. And I think that it is, but it could be the other things. So I'm to the point where I'm willing to, once Yordan's up, which that's a huge if, he could go, you know, play for the Hooks tonight, and then all of a sudden, you know, his hand hurts. So, like, that's a huge if. But when and if Yordan comes back, I'm willing to send Cam Smith down, even before the Jake Myers thing. It's good for Cam, I believe. You see lesser quality pitching. It's easier to work on your game, less stressful at-bats. I think that he can get going there. I think it can help his confidence. If he gets going there, you still call him back up before the end of the year. We're not saying goodbye, Cam, for the entire season. I think it helps Joe Espada, because Joe Espada right now, he has to play Cam Smith at least some. Not all the time, like he's playing today against a lefty because he's a righty. But like Joe Espada feels the pressure to play Cam Smith because he's the prize prospect you got back in the Kyle Tucker trade. And then lastly, it's great for the long-term benefit of this organization, because if you send Cam Smith to Sugar Land for 2.5 weeks, then all of a sudden Cam Smith's under club control through 2031 instead of 2030. So it helps Cam, it helps Espada, it helps the long-term health of the organization. Quite frankly, it's a no-brainer.
No, it is. And the fact that you know that they will be sure and being very communicative and saying, don't take this personally. We just need you to get right. Just relax. Just to, you know, the article that came, I think it was The Athletic, about a month ago about how they're forcing him to not come in as early, not do as much work, try to take some of the load off of him and the weight on his shoulders from the fact that it was all stacking up. He needs to detox for a couple of days. I mean, and more than a couple of days. You know, you hear the Cubs doing what they're doing with Tucker. This is more important because this kid now is probably grinding his gears harder than ever, thinking, I'm the guy that they're counting on. I'm the guy that's supposed to be. It's not long-term. It's definitely short-term, but the ramifications could be long-term if he continues to struggle at the big league level and you don't find some way to kind of ease and soothe what he's been going through. The problem with all of that is like you said, whether we knock on wood or otherwise, it's the same thing that we're dealing with the pitchers. Because you're relying on guys coming off of injury to suddenly pick up where they left off or be the guy that we know them to be in the case of Yordan, you just don't know. So you're going to go to two guys that, in the case of Jake, was having probably his best season in the majors, but you can't just expect that the minute you plug him back in the lineup against major league pitching, switch is going to go back on. He's going to be the same kind of player. And Yordan was really bad going into the injury. Mm-hmm. Now coming out of it, you expect him to be the savior. That's just too much to expect of any guy, even with the abilities of Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot. It's not great. Israel says 250 clown emoji. I mean, that's good, Israel. He's hitting 155 in his last 129 plate appearances. Like we can look at either stretch that you want to. He says Dana's not doing that. If Dana doesn't do that, I'm going to put fall on Dana Brown. Like I've been pro Dana Brown. If Dana Brown and if Dana Brown, when Yordan's back and Jake Myers is back, and Cam is still struggling, if they don't send him down, I'm going to start bashing Dana Brown. Like, that's where I'm at. That's how strongly I feel about this take. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll get your thoughts on what the current state of affairs for the Houston Astros. We'll talk Tay Ursary a little bit later and how he's willing to die for his quarterback. Is there clarity on the Mixon situation? It's hard to understand. 713-780-ESPN, the HRNP listener line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN975. You can find me there at Jeremy J. Branham. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blinkers at Pac-Man. Joel Bryan at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. How worried are you now with the Astros? Where's the panic meter at? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN975 and ESPN925. First, a moment with my about my good friends at HRNP, Human Resources and Payroll. Had to call them last night. Mike Hall, a U of H class of 1990. Go Cougs! Been protecting the interests of businesses for 25 years now. Used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he's protecting businesses. HRNP provides comprehensive human capital management services like HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll. HRMP is going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. Nothing cookie cutter about HRMP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRMP is going to create a plan for what you and your business needs. Customer service second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. Always a quick response, very easy to understand. And when they reprimand me, it's usually very kindly. Chris Fisher was up here yesterday, Chris Fisher, or 2 days ago. Actually, it was last week. I can't keep time. But Chris Fisher over there at HRMP, he's an Aggie. They balance it out. Great people. Chris, the bee's knees, he's fantastic. Let HRMP take on the demands of human resources. Eliminate your HR burden. So you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or visit them online at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
Bomb.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
713-780-ESPN. Get to the panic meter in a minute. Israel's yelling at me on the text line. 713-780-3776. Almost read his number. If Smith has hit a wall, what's riding on buses and staying at cheaper hotels going to do? Actually, well, that wasn't Israel. It could do nothing, but it buys you an extra year of service time, and it means Joe Espada isn't forced to write his name in the lineup every day. Maybe it doesn't help Cam Smith for the remainder of this year. But if it doesn't, that means Cam Smith's not playing on the Astros and hurting you. Secondly, you get the extra year of club control.
And realistically, if he's facing AAA pitching, aside from the bus rides and whatever kind of beds they're sleeping in, the fact of the matter is that it should be a way for him to play every day and just relax and work on his craft and like I said, touch up some pitchers that aren't as good as some of the major league pitchers he's facing more times than not in the show. So I guess you could think that the minor leagues is just this big demotion, but at the same time, sometimes the guys need it. He needs it right now.
You can work on your swing with less pressure. Like right now, he's an 0-2 count in a pennant race, and he is feeling it, and he's in the ringer. I mean, you go to Sugarland, and though you don't have pressure, you're seeing a little bit less quality. It's easier to work on the game. It's harder. Think about it. Is it easier to stripe a drive on the practice range or to stripe a drive leading the Masters on the 72nd hole by one shot? Less pressure helps.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is we've talked about and highlighted it before. In the PCL, the ball travels all over the place. And, you know, and one of the knocks early on when he came up to was where's the power and where are the power numbers. And people are always kind of side-eyeing, regardless of what he's doing, where his power numbers are. He's probably going to get fat and happy power number-wise hitting in that league with all the different altitude that he's going to be hitting in.
Yeah, that's the PCL will help you a little bit. Okay, here's Israel yelling at me specifically. I'm laughing at you, goofies. laughing face emoji. Who cares? You're not important. That's the best take you ever had. I agree with that one. You're just mad because you're wrong. I don't know what I'm wrong about here.
Well, if Jeremy Branham says so, I guess Cam Smith is ass. So, yeah.
Is Cam Smith what Lance said? 713-780-3. I don't mean that. Detect a little snark here. I don't mean that. He's in the ringer right now. He is struggling.
Can I just say that I just flipped over to the text line and Israel's last text just sums it all up for me because it just says mad at what y'all making any sense. So a text that makes no sense is what he's mad about for us not making sense.
It is pretty symbolic.
Okie dokie.
Why is Sanchez batting fourth when he hasn't done anything? If Caratini would have got that deep fly out, he would have scored.
One of the things, he was 0-for-21 going into the game last night. When I first saw the lineup, that's the first thing that caught my eye was why the hell is he batting there? So I believe that there is validity to that.
See, I liked him better in the two-hole. I like Correa in the four spot, and they flip-flopped him. Why did they flip-flop him? Because Espada believes that his best hitters should bat second as opposed to fourth. It's a little bit of a disagreement that I have with really not just Espada, but like modern-day analytics and managers. Wheatstraw, never thought I'd see the day I'd hear the debate if Chaz would be available out of the bullpen. I mean, he learned the stretch with the runner at first. Texture Bow, Chaz is the modern-day Vaughn Wild Thing. He can't remember the guy he hit. I was kind of checked out, but I still had it on. He hit a guy, and then the very next batter, he threw one kind of inside, and the hitter tried to wear it. Like, he tried to, like, not just wear it. He tried to
lean into it
with his left elbow. I was like, you got to be the softest person ever if you're trying to get hit by a position player. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is bad. I mean, you're supposed to be getting fat and happy for your average trying to clean up on a guy that is throwing way less and throwing meatballs more for a Major League Baseball team. You're supposed to be collecting some hits to bump your average up.
Soft. Texture McCullers got lucky versus the Dodgers. They were in a huge slump. Maybe so. But it was still one of his better starts, right? Jason says, see, I told you about McCullers. I'm not a sicko after all. Yeah, I think you are a sicko. The problem is the Astros have made us all go sicko, that we're clamoring for Lance McCullers' return, that he can somehow help this pitching staff. I don't believe that he can, but I actually want to see him back on this big league team for the first time since the blister.
I mean, it essentially comes down to which mistake would you like to see first, right, or best? like because of the fact that there are so many injuries, and then you're seeing Arrigetti not be able to get guys out, and you don't know what you don't know about the guys that are still being pushed back before they come back up. He's your best, one of your best case scenarios right now. Before, when you had everybody else and you thought Walter was coming back and you had some other options, no one wanted to see Lance. No. Now you don't have many other choices other than guys you've already seen that haven't been very good.
They brought up Logan Van Wy today. Why did they do that? Because Taylor Scott got hammered yesterday. A texter.
Who the f- is that guy?
Logan Van Wy?
He's been here and done not a lot.
Logan Van Wy gets that treatment? That's probably fair. He spells his name weird, though. It's V-A-N-W-E-Y. I don't know why that's weird, but it's pronounced weird, really. Because it looks like Way, but it's pronounced Y. It's Van Wy, Logan Van Wy. I have no idea why it's pronounced that way. Costanza over the last three games has been the best pitcher on the Astros pitching staff, to your point, probably. And we're talking sitcoms here, Brian. Keep up. If you have a guy seeing your stuff, you just walk that batter and get on to the next. I think that was to your point about the Winsell, which most situations I would agree with that. I didn't have a good feeling in that at bat because he homered foul. He's seeing everything.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
He absolutely turned and just ripped two. And I'm like, oh, dear God. And he was still up in the count. It was like 1-2. And then the next two pitches, they weren't even competitive. And I'm going, oh, God, if he throws anything close here, and then before you know it, his neck is hurting, and that ball is on a freaking jetliner on the way out of the park.
What do you think that ball was flying? Was it Virgin Airlines? Was it what's the one that's Spirit? Spirit's the one that makes you pay for every single upcharge. Are you sitting in an aisle? That's $15. You're bringing a backpack? 15 more. We haven't been able to touch pitchers who have been sucking. What's the odds we touch an ace? 5%?
See, that's the crazy thing, although it didn't happen last time, but you would expect, like, you've gotten to Crochet, you've gotten to guys that are really, really good, so there's at least hope that when you're facing a pitcher like Skubal, that you can push across a couple of runs.
I think they have to win, like, a 2-1 game.
They beat him. Did they beat him last time? But they got some runs off of him last time.
Oh, I have to look it up. I don't remember.
I got
to
look that,
The, I pulled up the Vegas numbers on this game because I was kind of intrigued after that last text. The Astros are +135 dogs today. So if you have confidence in this offense that's been shut out three of their last four games, +135. You want to guess the over-under run total, which is -135. So it's juiced a little bit.
Five.
A little bit more. 6.5. Okay. 6.5. You on the under there?
Hunter Brown scares me. But yes, I will say under.
I have a hard time thinking there's 6.5 runs scored. The Astros. Actually, it's been bet up to 7.5.
I'll go under.
You can get it. You can get it 6.5. You can get it at 6.5 runs for -135. You can get it at 7.5 runs for +110. So you're trading off some value there. But it opened at 6.5 and it's been bet up to 7.5. That's insane to me. How are people betting that up?
Yeah, I don't. I would think he just has. I mean, as long as he's got, you know, his pitches are working a little bit. He's always I want to say that the last time he pitched at home, he pitched really well.
You talking about Hunter?
Yeah. It was a year, I think last year in Detroit.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. I would think that he's going to be fine.
You know what this has to be? Like this run line? It has to be people that just automatically see a run line that low that bet it up. Like they're just automatically on the over no matter what. It has to be that.
Yeah. Because you would think with those two guys, top three in Cy Young, that you're not going to have 7-8 runs scored.
Yeah. So Skubal hasn't faced the Astros this year. Let's see what he did against the Astros last year. Probably was pretty good. Faced him in the playoffs. There was that.
That's right.
They saw him three times last year, twice in the regular season. First time they saw him, 2 runs, 6 1/3, strikeout 7. Pitched in Houston in June. Gave up 4 runs and 6 1/3. Okay. A game that they lost 7-0. The playoff performance was pretty good, though. Mm. It's a rematch of that game, too, because Skubal and Hunter Brown pitched in that second game. He went 6 shutout innings. I would actually take that. Am I crazy to take that?
And then he's off the mound, and then you get to their pen.
Am I nuts for that?
See, but no, because I was just going to say the one thing about that 7, that over-under, that's going to be the challenge is Hunter Brown's got to give you 6 or 7 for you to have a chance because of the Astros bullpen.
I would sign up for that. I'm a maniac. I would sign up for 6 shutout innings from Skubal. Because he's out of the game after 6. Now, Hunter Brown, to your point, has to keep you in it. Mm-hmm. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Panic meter. Mine is growing. Usually I like to talk people off the ledge. Usually I'm a little contrarian at times, and everybody's freaking out about the Astros. I'm officially worried about them. I do think they're in trouble. Where is that panic meter at? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. The good news, my panic is high, but I got Walmart in my life. So anything I need, I can just go to Walmart.com and it's at my house in an hour or less. It's fantastic. It can be there as soon as an hour. Houston, the Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Did you know that Walmart has more than a half a billion items online? A lot of that stuff I need right now. Find a huge selection online that you can't find in stores at Walmart.com. My family, we've been using Walmart.com for a long time. Branham family loves ordering online from Walmart. It's wonderful for a family who doesn't have a whole lot of time. I like to watch the ball games. I don't like to go to the store. I'm a little bit lazy, so that's always a good aspect for that as well. So we order online with Walmart and get all of our groceries without having to leave the house. It is fantastic. Oh, that's expensive. No. That's not the case. Online grocery shopping doesn't cost more at Walmart. Grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store. And because it's Walmart, you know that the prices are already low. And they're fast. That's what I love about them. Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour. Going online at Walmart.com, ordering the groceries, whatever you need, is faster than actually going to the grocery store and getting the groceries you need. They're going to save you time. Use Express Delivery to get all the eligible things you need from Walmart. You get the groceries, of course, but you get home goods ordering at Walmart.com. You can even get prescriptions at Walmart.com. They are simply changing the game. So when it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, throwing a party, think Walmart for all your grocery needs. Start an order right now at Walmart.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Axe on YouTube says he should have traded for Dylan Cease. Do you feel differently about that today? Arrighetti, Yannick,
yeah, the Arrighetti
two prospects for Cease.
I'm going to say no because Cease is still going to be a free agent in the offseason. You're probably going to lose him. But the way Arrighetti has pitched, it did make me at least pause for a second.
Yeah, I'm still on the no side of that. But it's a little closer today than it was July 31st. I'll give Axe credit for that. A little closer today than it was then. Where is the panic meter at on this Astros team right now? I'm worried, Blankers, because this offense right now is lifeless. It has some holes in this lineup. Now, it could add pieces like Yordan would help, Jake would help. If they find their form, the starting rotation is really after Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez. And even those guys have been a little shakier lately. It's in shambles. Costanza has been very good, but you wonder when he's going to wake up and realize it's Costanza.
The summer of George.
Like maybe it becomes fall with Costanza, yeah. And the summer of George is over. Like Arrighetti's been bad. Javier has the runs. The bullpen right now with no Josh Hader is frightening. It is terrible. So this doesn't look like the team that was really, really hot in June with the reinforcements on the way. I think my panic meter is like at a – I'm going to go 7-3.
Yeah, as much as I was the guy that, you know, is holding strong all season long on the fact that they're going to win the division by 5 games, I still feel confident they're going to win the division. The 5 games, it's definitely in jeopardy. And I think what you mentioned is with every passing injury, I kept saying, when is the one that they can't overcome going to happen? And every time they found a guy to step up or two guys to step up or, you know, another guy to fill in. But now, because of the Hader injury and because of how stable and important those last two innings in the back end of that bullpen was, and now what it looks like, as you mentioned, since then, I've got real panic because the musical chairs and Chaz McCormick is not my answer to filling innings up and picking up the load from what you lose with Hader. I don't worry about Abreu. For the most part, I'm not going to worry that much about King or and Souza, although they haven't been good. I think they're still fully capable, and even Okert. But after that, man, like, I guess, you know, Ort can be somewhere there. But it's not just the – because now we're talking about starting pitchers and who can actually be the next in line to maybe step up. But now you're talking about three or four different spots in the bullpen where you're like, cross your fingers and Hail Mary and let's hope that they get some outs. You can't do that for a team that's – two things with the Mariners. One, they loaded up before the deadline. And then secondly, they also were dealing with a lot of injuries to their starting pitching, And their starting pitchers all were really, really good and better than the Astros in some cases. They're getting them all back on top of the fact that they made all the moves and still had the top of their rotation. So it is concerning.
Yeah, the like on one hand, it's they're leading the division by 1.5 games because Seattle's losing a lot on their roadie. The one side of my my front lobe is telling me the Astros prior to this stretch where they've been shut out 3 or 4 games, they did win 3 series in a row against good teams, the Marlins, the Red Sox, the Yankees. So like on one hand, it's still that. On the other hand, it's I'm watching this team and I struggle wrapping my mind around how they're going to win the game. Like, Fromber doesn't feel like a guaranteed victory like he did early in the year. Hunter Brown doesn't feel like a guaranteed victory early in the year. If they do leave the game with the lead, I'm not super confident about the bullpen. I'm confident with Abreu, but I'm not confident with any of the other guys. I'm not confident that the Astros offense could just win a game on their own right now. So I struggle to find the ways that this team can win a lot of ball games. That's why my panic meter is as high as it's been all season long.
I'm at a 7-2 simply because of the fact that even during this stage where they were playing more space Cowboys in their lineup than they were Astros, mm-hmm. they'd get down a couple of runs, and that's normally, as I said early in the season, where I felt like it was out of reach and already over, fold up your tents and go home. And they kept scratching and clawing and finding ways to get back into ball games, tie it up whether they wanted or not, and really make it a ball game late. When you're getting your doors blown off by double digits and getting shut out, it's hard to believe that they can scrap together one run, let alone stay competitive in a game if they go down by multiple runs, mm-hmm. no matter how early it is. And as you mentioned, Brown to some degree, but and Fromber also in that mix, haven't been as stable. Normally when we were talking about this and saying, hey, what are you expecting tonight? Well, with one of those guys on the mound, I'm expecting they're going to win the baseball game. And then they're going up against less thans, like, and May comes in from the Red Sox, and all of a sudden he's dealing, you're not. You're down big runs again, and now you're going, now where are we going to get the next good pitching performance?
It just feels like it's really hard for the Astros to win right now. Junior Bronco says they're getting all the bad play out of their system. They're going to be primed for A-plus baseball by the playoffs. The pendulum will swing. I hope you're right. I hope you're right, Junior Broncos. This just isn't a team that I love. They still have a shot, obviously. And, like, you're still fighting for it. I had somebody on the Twitter, like, oh, they should just mail it in. They shouldn't even bring Yordan back. They should just rest him up for 2026. You got a game and a half lead. You hope that you can, figure it out. You hope the offense can click on all cylinders because they still have a shot. Like, they still have a shot to have a deep lineup if they get right. The starting rotation and the bullpen,
But you're at, 37 games left? Something like that?
Uh-huh.
So the fact that you're still sitting in first place And you're in a position where you can still dictate your own future to where no matter what they've done to this point, it's a hell of a season. It is a fantastic run just to do what they've done to stay competitive to this point. But normally when we're talking about a team that gets shut out and their doors blown off in 3 of the last 4 games the way they have, you're talking about a team that's like stumbling and falling 5-6 games out of first place. The fact that you're still sitting in first place with all this being said, it's absolutely possible that they can still put it back together. It's just that when you see the moving pieces that we're watching right now, it's hard to believe that the puzzle comes back, everything fits, and you ride it off into the sunset with another division crown.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also possible that they could miss the playoffs entirely. Now, you're sitting at 69-56 right now. The wild card teams are all tied, which is kind of weird. They all have a 540 winning percentage. So your lead on Seattle is your lead on the final wild card. Now, the guards are 3 games out of the wild card, so that would be your lead. And you lead that by 4.5 games. So, like, your lead of the playoffs right now is 4.5, which is still solid. Mm-hmm. It's solid. You really wish they could take advantage of Seattle losing. Ocho, I've heard some people say that the Astros typically struggle like this, even during their championship years. To me, this is different because those were good teams underperforming, while this is a depleted team overachieving. I think the water has reached its level and the war of attrition is kicking their butts. I think it's a totally fair take.
It is. But I think that the key is it's not that it's a really bad team. It's the fact that you put it the way you did, Ocho, and the fact that it is a depleted roster full of injuries. Like, this is a really good team if healthy. It's one thing to say every team's going to endure some injuries during the course of the season. The level of injuries that they have sustained all season long and the ability to bridge the gap to still be competitive and be in first place, remarkable. But at a certain point, like you said, it's going to level off. Hader might be the one that pushes you down underwater a little bit, but yet you still have a fighting chance. That means that, and you still have help on the way, whether that help is successful or not. But it's not like other teams. Well, we missed the deadline's passed. We don't have anybody else in our system. We just got to roll with what we got. You still have some help coming. You just don't know at what level they're going to help.
Yeah. Like the arms that could help you. I mean, we know the bats. Jordan Myers. Maybe Isak. That feels like a long shot. But maybe Isak.
I'm not counting on them.
The pitchers you have coming back, I just don't know how tremendous a help they are. Like, what is Luis Garcia going to do? What is J.P. France going to do? The big one to me is Hader, and it feels like that's only going to be a playoff thing. So, we'll
see. I mean, look, if you get there and you get healthy, even if it's a two-game series and you don't have home field advantage, you definitely have a shot if healthy because of the fact that you have so much help coming back. It's just the fact that trying to get there is going to take an army, and you're running low on soldiers.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Israel, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's going on, Israel?
What's up? Hey, it's the 1-6 hitter. You mentioned it, Cam. The 1-6 hitter's got to step up and score some runs. One of them games, Cam is the ninth hitter, bro. He's a 7-9. The 1-6 hitters need to step up and produce some runs. It can't be. They're not sending them down at no 250. That 250 batting average is better than all the outfielders. The 1-6 hitters got to step up. The first baseman, he just batted 238. They got to step up. That's the problem.
When do you own any blame for Cam, Israel? When do you own any blame for Cam? No.
All right, y'all.
No, not all right, y'all.
Oh, he's gone.
That's brutal. Yeah. That is soft, Windy City blowhard.
Yeah, a little soft. I mean, he's not wrong that the 1-6 has more importance than Cam. Like, I don't disagree there. I agree with that stance from Israel.
There's plenty of blame to go around.
No doubt. And that's, it is more important for this Astro team to be good that 1-6 produces versus Cam Smith producing. The Cam Smith send-down thing is to me, a separate entity. One, it's good for Cam, in my opinion. Secondly, you're not – Joe Espada isn't forced to play him. And then, lastly, you can keep him under club control for an extra year. I think they're two separate conversations.
But you can also be realistic in the fact that to fight his point and counter his point, he hasn't batted ninth the entire time he's been slumping either. Mm-hmm. Because a good portion of the time that he was slumping, from the time that you looked it up, he was batting four. He was batting five. He was needed to bat in the top six because of the fact that the 7, 8, 9 was so bad and they were all space cowboys. So let's not just fluff it and say, oh, guess what? Cam's been batting ninth the whole time, so not as much blame goes to him. He's been in that top six quite a bit during that time, Israel.
Yeah, also batting average is a terrible way to look at an offensive prowess of a player in 2025. It matters. I think we've probably devalued batting average a little bit too much, but batting average does not carry the weight of some other offensive metrics. And I'm certainly not defending and excusing Christian Walker, but would you rather have a guy that's hitting 237 with a 700 OPS on the year or a 250 guy with a 687 OPS on the year? It's kind of close. Yeah. I'd rather have the OPS.
Yeah, the 700.
And that's totally ignoring recent numbers. Totally ignoring recent numbers where Walker's been pretty good up until recently, and then Cam Smith has been abysmal since July 6th. So, you can kind of skew things the way you want to skew things. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Where's your panic meter with this team? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, and ESPN 92.5. Some people's panic meter when they're buying vehicles is very, very high. It's extreme. It's past 10. You see the little needle that gets to 10, and it's past it. It's wavering past it. That's what it's like whenever you're buying a car. But not at Monument Chevrolet. They put your mind at ease. That panic meter goes the other way. It's down to a 1 if you're buying your vehicle from Monument Chevrolet because they're the dealer that you can trust. They're transparent. They're not going to hassle you and haggle you with pricing. Uh-uh. That's not Monument Chevrolet's way. And they have a tried and true way, too, because they've been serving the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into vehicles, and these families keep coming back because they trust the people in Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet is a pillar of the community. They're a pillar of the city of Houston. Family feel there, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which means the culture is great. Labor Day, by the way, just around the corner. I love Labor Day because it's kind of symbolic with football season, but it's also symbolic with car savings, and that's the case at Monument Chevrolet. To get Labor Day savings at Monument Chevrolet, go there now. Monumental savings, employee pricing, plus deep discounts on popular models like the EV Blazer, like the Chevy Silverado 1500, and much, much more. More about that EV Blazer. 0% financing for 36 months going on right now. Add in pre-Labor Day employee pricing, and you have a monumental deal. There's no better time to join the 21st century and buy a sleek, modern, comfortable electric SUV than now. So get a fair deal, a fast deal, an easy deal at Monument Chevrolet without wasting your time in aggravating stressful negotiations. You can check out their full inventory at monumentchevrolet.com or go visit them in person, 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
There it is. The Astros have made, well, they told the reporters and the reporters tweeted it out. Lance McCullers' return. If you're playing a guess the date on Lance McCullers' return. Friday night in Baltimore. Quote the Maven, nevermore.
The blister resistor. It's gone. He's ready.
So will Lance McCullers give the Orioles Edgar Allan woes? Is that what we're hoping for?
Let's do it. Quote, I feel like quote the Maven, nevermore wasn't bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It was better than your opening joke. I don't remember what that trash was.
It was very forgettable. Very forgettable.
I don't remember it either.
I forgot it too. I forget everything though. I have the worst short term memory.
I am so with that.
I think I have good long term memory, but I have the worst short term memory.
Well, the thing that I hate too, and it's like when my wife says something and she's like, "Remember what we talked about like last week?"
Never.
Nope. Sure don't.
Never.
And even when she starts giving me hints, I'm like, "Gonna have to give me more than that." Do not. And then other things, I'm like, "Oh yeah, right away. Got that. Do this. Do that." It drives me nuts that, and she said the same thing. Like, there are times that my memory just goes completely AWOL.
Yeah, I'm not. My short term memory is the worst. It's weird. Maybe it's the sign of getting older. I don't know.
Maybe you have CTE.
I could. I haven't been hitting the head a whole lot though.
Because you have great hands and you always catch the ball.
I had a concussion one time. We were playing football during baseball practice, and I made a catch like going back, and I tumbled backwards, and I hit my head on the warning track. I didn't realize I had a concussion at the time, but looking back, there's no doubt I had a concussion.
Like C spots and
yeah, I was dizzy. Yeah. Like I didn't like get my vision back for like multiple hours. It wasn't great.
You mentioned CTE though, and before we, I don't want to get off the Astros, but there's a, if you can find it, there's a podcast out right now with the doctor that Aaron Hernandez donated his brain to science.
That was nice of him.
And so she started like doing all of this to break down like if CTE played a part in all the stuff that he did. Oh my God, when she started describing it, like she's like the frontal lobe of his brain was basically gone and there was a mesh screen that's supposed to keep this from doing that. Because it didn't, it was like attack. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot. But it does sound like there was a lot going on in his melon.
Yeah, that stuff's kind of scary. Like you see the repeated, and you see like the images of the brain whenever it does have CTE, and like the vicious hits that they take. It is scary stuff. Scary stuff. Texture, my panic meter's at an all time high because of the way they are losing. They are not very competitive. That's kind of the point I was making. Like it's hard to see them winning a bunch of games because everything that they're doing is a struggle. Scoring runs is a struggle. Getting good starting pitching is a struggle. Having any quality from the bullpen right now is a struggle. Like, we always talk about the phases of the game, offense, pitching, the different areas of pitching, starting, bullpen stuff. They're all the phases the Astros are going through right now are not good.
No, both offensively, defensively to some regard, but more so than anything, it's just offense and pitching. I mean, their defense hasn't been bad per se, and all year they've been an above average defensive baseball team, especially on the infield. But overall, we know that the pitching from start to finish, other than Brian Abreu, you can pick holes in. And even with Fromber and with Hundred, they haven't been what we just got done talking about, the fact that they haven't been what we were used to seeing and accustomed to seeing from them. And the lineup's just been awful.
Yeah. A lot of the text line wants to fire Snitker and Cintron. We always do that when the offense struggles.
I think that this is just another case of when the fan base is frustrated and angry, it's who do we lynch first? You know, because there was a time when they wanted the pitching coaches' heads on a platter. So it's typical, it's expected, but is it fair? No.
No, I don't think it's fair either. They haven't had a full deck, and far from it. Coach staff starting to remind me of the Texans with Bobby Slowick. That's an anti-Cintron Snitker thing. If Jordan is half the player he is, he brings an intimidating presence at the mound. You see pitchers fear throwing that ball down the plate. No, there's no doubt you respect Jordan. So yeah, that's kind of what you hope brings stability back to this team. Texter, can we eliminate middle relief by piggybacking two or even three starters with these guys coming back? See, I've seen this idea floated around, and I think that one aspect that we're not discussing whenever this idea gets floated around is that you do have roster constraints.
Yeah.
You can only carry 13 pitchers as of now. You carry 14 once September 1st comes around. So like maybe you can get away with one piggyback starter, but it's very difficult to do with more than one piggyback starter. Maybe you can go to two when September rolls around, but you just don't have an unlimited pitching staff.
No, because you're going to have to get extended innings from all your starters when you're going to carry six and seven starters if you're assuming that there's going to be more than one piggyback. And once those guys pitch, you're not calling them back on short notice to do something else when you need outs. So the two piggybacks, if you do that, have to finish the game basically, except for maybe the last inning. And then you better hope the other guys start and give you at least six plus just to give you a shot to get through that.
Yeah, I think you can do it with one starter up until September, maybe two starters in September, but you can't do it more than that. Now, it is interesting that Lance McCullers started in Sugarland. He pitched five innings in that game. Do you know who pitched the last four?
Gordon.
No, A.J. No. Blueball.
Oh.
A.J. Blueball. So maybe that is part of their plan. Maybe that's, okay, A.J. Blueball is going to be a piggyback for one of those guys, but he can't do it yet because he's not eligible to return to the roster quite yet.
Okay.
Only silver lining I see is that Abreu is getting plenty of rest after being used a ton during the first half. I guess maybe the pessimistic way to look at that is that he's getting out of form, that he's getting rusty because pitchers like their routine. Why panic now when we said we were worried before? We were laughed at. Keep the same energy. Well, we call it like it is. How about trying Lance's relief pitcher? Ha ha ha. That's a good one. Now that's a good point. Well, not really this text. It's a good point by me based on reading this text. Is this six Ooh, man?
There we go.
Is Jeremy this six Branham's man? Right. Is he taking somebody's spot? Or is this just because they're playing so many days in a row that they're adding an additional starter? I think it's the latter.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think that overall, we just got done talking about it. You'd like, ideally, how many starters you have that you feel confident in are going to go out and get outs and be effective for you. And so, you know, you look at it, you're running out of warm bodies. And so that's the biggest concern. And you have to be judicial with the pitchers that you have on the roster because regardless of whether Lance wants to go to the pen or what you want to do otherwise, at least even during the start of the year when you still had Ryan Gusto, you had guys that had bigger arms that were coming in to at least soak up some innings for you.
Texter says let's move Lance to the bullpen. Well, not Friday. He's starting on Friday. It's going to be very interesting what they do after that, though, because they do have an off day Monday. Then they play six in a row. Do you stay with the six man? Can you afford it? It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting if they go with six man or if they tell one of the five starters, hey, Lance is taking your spot. We'll see. We'll hurry up and wait on that. Pete, so McBlisters is pitching Friday. My panic meter just went spinal tap. He's in an 11 now. Josh from Seabrook. Lance McCullers will have a telltale start. Okay. I looked it up. Telltale Heart is an Edgar Allan Poe novel, I guess.
Okay.
I Googled it. I didn't know. Literature's not my strong
Are they also suit. Known for crabs?
They are.
In the harbor?
Yeah. I've had the best crab cakes I've ever had were in Baltimore. They have fantastic crab cakes in Baltimore. My favorite two things to come out of Baltimore, crab cakes and The Wire. For sure. Easily. There's not even a close third.
Okay.
Anything else good come
I've
from
never
Baltimore?
Been to Joe Flacco?
No, I don't like Flacco.
But he's elite.
Did not a big come fan out of there? Did
yeah,
he go?
He's not elite.
Because he went to Delaware.
Yeah,
close
he's just,
enough.
I mean, there's a murderer that came out of there. Allegedly.
Allegedly. We don't need to get into it, but innocent.
Oh, boy.
That's an interesting podcast. I highly recommend that one, by the way. I forget what it's called.
Serial? The first season?
No. Oh, no. I was talking about Ray Lewis.
Oh, jeez. I thought you were
I forgot Serial was
in
Baltimore.
Yeah, the Heyman Lee case. I thought you were talking about that.
I did listen to that. That was very good. But I was talking about Ray Lewis. Serial is a good pot. The first one. I feel like it's been watered down now, the true crime stuff. But Serial was a really good one at the very start. What was his name? Adnan or whatever?
Yeah, I can't remember his full name, but the victim was... I just said it now. I forgot.
He got out and then went back in.
See about your memory. It's contagious.
Yeah.
You know that? He got out and then went back in?
Right.
That was a good one. But no, I was talking about Ray Lewis. There's a podcast on Ray Lewis and then a whole murder trial thing, which is fascinating.
That's what it was. Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't remember the victim's name. That's a pretty good recall there by you. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP. Listen, I move McCormick to the bullpen. He's unavailable today. Can't pitch 3 days in a row. Is it more likely McCullers are going to the pen or that he's taking somebody's spot in the rotation because he refuses to go to the pen? See, I have a bad feeling that Lance is going to be the fifth starter and they're going to bump Alexander to the pen.
I would hate that.
Well, the jerk star called. They're running out of you.
Lance McCullers would be the jerk that's taking his spot.
Yeah, that should not happen because there is an argument to be made. He's been your best pitcher over the last month.
For sure. This is going to be fascinating what they do. Bring back the Space Cowboys. We were winning with those guys. You can pitch lights out, but if you can't get support, it's senseless. I think Baltimore's number one in murder rate. That doesn't surprise me.
Ooh, yeah.
I've heard that as well.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise
me. The wrong turn at the wrong time could be deadly.
Texture says the wire is the best thing to come out of Maryland in general. It's pretty good. Maryland's state flag is awful, by the way.
Yes, it is. And that's more when we were talking about college helmets and uniforms and stuff. That whole, they've got eight, it's their flag too, the state flag. Everything, the flag, the helmets, the Maryland thing, they got a whole lot going on there.
All right, they do. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. An update on Joe Mixon. Is there clarity here with Joe Mixon and his status for week one? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.